All right. Well, I love songs like that, Forever, My Love, Forever, My Heart, because it is going to be forever. It is an eternity with our God and our Savior. Let's open our Bibles to Revelation chapter 10. Revelation chapter 10. I would challenge you guys to, if you don't have a regular Bible reading program, you can grab one of they're out there somewhere. You can ask me afterwards and I can find them if you want. But there's a Bible reading plan. It's set out so you can do it in a year. If that's overwhelming, do it in a year and a half. Do it in, whatever you can. If you can't do it in a year, that's great, but I totally get that that can be overwhelming. The fun part for me is getting that piece of paper, and then when you read a book or a chapter, you get to cross it out. I like crossing things off. Makes me feel like I've done something. And so you get to cross them off, and then eventually you've read a book, and then two, and then three, and then you're through the Old Testament or the New Testament, or it's exciting. And it helps you track progress. So I would encourage you this year, especially if you've never read through the entire Bible. It is surprising to me how many Christians have never read through the entire Bible. Make that your goal this year, not just so you can say, I've read my Bible, but so that you can know your Bible, so that you can actually understand. And when Sam or I say something from the Old Testament, you go, oh, yeah. I remember reading about that guy, and I love to see people read, and they're like, I just connected this book with this, and when they said this in the New Testament, I understood it because of what the priest did, and however it works. It's exciting to connect the dots and see what God has done on a whole. Well, we're looking at Revelation chapter 10, and it follows a chapter that was pretty dark. Demons coming out of the pit to torment people not to kill them, but just to torment them. And then another release of demons to kill a third of mankind. I mean, we see that heaven is real. We also see that hell is real, that death is real, that there is a choice that needs to be made. Well, and we see people in Revelation making a choice for Jesus, and we see those rejecting Jesus, but we also see that today in our communities, in our church even, and around the world, people rejecting Jesus, but people receiving Jesus. And that is, oh, so exciting. Well, let's pray one more time and then we'll read God's word. Heavenly Father, thank you for this opportunity to look into your word, to be challenged, changed, and ultimately consumed by you, for you. With a new year ahead of us, God, we want it to be about you, about your cross, about your love, about your word. We love you, we praise you, we give you this night. In Jesus' name, amen. Revelation 10 starts off with, I saw still another mighty angel coming down from heaven, clothed with a cloud, and a rainbow was on his head. His face was like the sun, and his feet like pillars of fire. He had a little book open in his hand, and he set his right foot on the sea and his left foot on the land, and cried with a loud voice, as when a lion roars. When he cried out, seven thunders uttered their voices. Now, when the seven thunders uttered their voices, I was about to write, but I heard a voice from heaven saying to me, seal up the things which the seven thunders uttered, and do not write them. The angel whom I saw standing on the sea and on the land raised up his hand to heaven and swore by him who lives forever and ever, who created heaven and the things that are in it, the earth and the things that are in it, and the sea and the things that are in it, that there should be delay no longer. But in the days of the sounding of the seventh angel, when he is about to sound, the mystery of God would be finished, as he declared to his servants, the prophets. Well, we actually have another break here for actually a couple chapters, well, two-ish, that instead of just going through the judgments, we get another break as we look into some things that are happening in heaven, happening on earth. And in some ways, it's almost as if God is giving those during this time a break. Now, we don't know exactly how much time goes on between each trumpet or each seal judgment or each bowl judgment. But our God is gracious and our God is loving. He gives us a break, as it is overwhelming to me as I read the judgments, and it's kind of heavy as you realize what is unfolding on the earth. So we get another break, and we see, well, John sees, and he writes to us, another mighty angel coming down from heaven. As always, there's a debate on who is this angel? His name is Jimmy. No, it's not Jimmy. That's probably for sure. But some people say Jesus. I don't think it's Jesus. And I think the text points that out, because he says, well, the angel himself says in 5 and 6, raised up his hand to heaven and swore by him who lives forever and ever, who created heaven and the things that are in it, and the earth and the things that are in it, and the sea and the things that are in it. He swears by God himself. Well, Jesus is God and is made out clearly to be God in Revelation. We know that all things were created by him and for him. So I do believe this is just another angel, as the passage says. Is there a chance I'm wrong? Yeah, there's a chance. And when we get to heaven, we'll find out for sure. But I do think it's just another angel. Some people say that, well, it's Jesus because his face shines like the sun. Yeah, Jesus' face shone like the sun. But it wouldn't surprise me that somebody that's been in God and Jesus' presence would shine, because we see Moses being in the presence of Almighty God on Mount Sinai, and his face shone. So much so that the children of Israel asked him to put a veil over his face. Well, whoever this angel is, and I do think it's just one of God's messengers. It's pretty awesome. I mean, if you think about it. It's pretty awesome. Because, you know, he gives glory to the Father. Well, we'll look here in a little bit. Well, right now, verse 1, he says, another mighty angel coming from heaven, clothed with a cloud, and a rainbow was on his head. His face was like the sun, his feet like pillars of fire. He is absolutely beautiful. This angel is clothed with a cloud. I mean, a rainbow on his head, his face like the sun, feet like fire. I mean, John's trying to describe something incredible. Something beautiful. And I think that's pretty cool, because this angel represents the glory of the Lord. This angel represents the beauty of Almighty God. And I got to thinking about it. Hey, that's what we're supposed to do. We represent the Almighty God. We represent Jesus Christ. And so, I think people, when they see us, now we may not have rainbows around our heads and face shining like the sun, and I mean, that would be pretty cool. It would make witnessing a lot easier, to be honest. You walk into work, I'm here. I mean, people'd want to know. But I do think we can shine for the Lord. I do think through our attitude and through our our response to life, we can shine for Jesus Christ. That people can see something different in us and go, I want that. My mom received the Lord in college, and when she came back and you know, was hanging out with her best friend, and of course they were unbelievers before together, and Lori asked my mom, there's something different about you. You came back different. My mom got to tell her about Jesus, and Lori ended up giving her life to the Lord. It's pretty cool. She could see that there was a difference because of Jesus. Is the world seeing a difference in us today? I hope so. And there's so many things. There's so many things that this world is lacking that we can fill in, that we can shine for Jesus. There's so many opportunities every day. Well, this angel represented the Lord, his glory, and I think we can too. So maybe that's something this year, this new year, you're like, I'm going to represent Jesus better. I'm going to shine for my Lord at work, at school, at home, at in the neighborhood with that crazy neighbor, with that weird teacher, or that, I mean, there's always strange people in our lives or hard people in our lives, or but are we going to shine the Lord to them? Well, verse 2 says, he had a little book open in his hand, and he set his right foot on the sea and his left foot on the land, and cried with a loud voice as when a lion roars. So this little book, we're actually going to look at it here in a minute in a little more detail. But and I did entitle tonight's message, The Word of God. What is in the little book? We don't know. It passage doesn't tell. We don't know what's actually written in it, but it's important. And we'll see why here in a little bit. But this angel, he puts his, you know, his right foot in the sea and his left foot on the land. Can't help but thinking, put your right foot out. Hokey pokey jumped in there when I read that. But he's got his right foot out on the land and his left foot on the sea, and he cries with a loud voice of a lion. I love how we've seen through Revelation that, I mean, voices in heaven have been voices like thunder and rushing water and the sound of a trumpet. And here it's of a lion, just that consuming roar. It's pretty cool hearing lions roar. And I mean, it's just, I'm fascinated with big cats. And we actually, when we were in Africa, got to see a lion in the wild. And it was funny because it was like a reverse zoo. We were in the little cage, and they were roaming around in the wild. And we got to see a lion and just their majesty and their beauty and the power. And, you know, that roar that's intense. And that's, you know, commands attention. And so this angel cries out with the voice of a lion's roar. Well, his feet on the ocean, on the land, he's demonstrating his authority over everything on earth. Everything in the sea, everything on the land. But we got to realize that his authority comes from God. It's not this angel's authority. And that's important that we remember that our authority comes from God. If you are a person that has authority, either in your house, at work, at school, over brothers and sisters, whatever it might be, we all have different levels of authority. But we need to realize that the authority that we have has been given to us from God. This angel could stand and in his glory represent Jesus, and in his stance represent God's authority over the earth. How do we stand, if you will? You know, how do we, you know, represent God's authority? In Mark chapter 10, verse 42, it's kind of a funny story. James and John had just talked to Jesus about, you know, wanting to sit on his right and left hand, and the apostles kind of were always bickering about who was the greatest, and you know, Jesus dealt with that, and here in Mark 10, he calls them to himself. He calls all the disciples and the apostles together, and he says, you know that those who are considered rulers over the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them. He says, Jesus says, the world lords their authority over, looks for authority so that they can oppress, so that they can demonstrate their power over the people underneath them. He says that's what the world does. So we need to look in our lives, and as husbands, as people of authority, are we lording that power over the people beneath us? Well, he says that's what the world does. But in verse 43, he says, yet it shall not be so among you. But whoever desires to become great among you shall be your servant. Can you just picture the disciples kind of sitting here thinking as they're trying to establish themselves as the greatest, thinking, how does that work? Shall be your servant. Well, that's the greatest. In God's eyes, the one who serves, the one who pours out, the one who gives their life is the greatest. Authority is different in God's kingdom than it is in the world's kingdom. Authority in the world, yeah, it's power and having the bigger office and getting to tell people what to do. Jesus says you need to serve. When I was a firefighter, I became a lieutenant and ran my own 6-man crew, and the fire chief kind of pulled me aside because I'm not a huge commanding individual, and he said Justin, this is the way. He goes, this is really the only way it's going to work for you is if you lead by example. And I thought about that and I said, that's ridiculous. No, I said, that's a good idea. And so, as a lieutenant, I led by example. I made sure I worked alongside them and was a part. And you know, the thing is as you know, leaders, as those with authority in the Lord, we need to lead by example. We need to love God and love people. I mean, how do we tell somebody else love God and love people if we don't do that? How do we guide people spiritually if we don't do it? Now, I realize as I look at my own life, I have a lot of areas I can work on. But this is what we're called to do. We're called to be a servant. He goes even further in verse 44 and says, and whoever of you desires to be first shall be slave of all. Now, I got to be honest, I didn't wake up this morning thinking, slave of the world. I didn't. I'm going to be honest. But I should. I should put myself in that position and go, okay, I'm going to serve. I'm going to serve. I'm a slave to the person at the bank. I'm a slave to the person at the teller, at the grocery store, the checker. I'm a slave to these people around me. Why? Why? So they can know Jesus. I'm a slave. Wow. That's a big command. And then he says something, and it's one of my favorite passages in all of Scripture. Actually, I realize I say that a lot because there's a lot of really good stuff in this book. But this one is, it stands out. Verse 45 of Mark 10 says, for even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. What a beautiful passage. God himself doesn't just say, serve. Be a slave. Give your life. He said, this is the deal. Jesus says, I came not to be served. Son of Man, a messianic title proving, you know, claiming to be the Messiah, claiming to be God. He says, I didn't come to be served, but to serve. He came to serve. Jesus came and served the people here, while he was here. And he continues to serve us now by praying and interceding and working on our behalf. And to give his life a ransom. Well, that's exactly what he did. He gave his life so that we could have life. He gave everything up so that we could. be partakers with him. That's pretty amazing. I love that God doesn't just call us to do things that he hasn't done, but he's been the example. He's led by example and shown us how to do it the right way. Well, authority. This angel demonstrates his authority as he stands over the earth. And in verse 4 it says there in Revelation, "Now when the seven thunders uttered their voices, I was about to write, but I heard a voice from heaven saying to me, 'Seal up the things which the seven thunders uttered, and do not write them.'" This is interesting, and I mean, my first thing is, what did they say? I want to know. But I don't get to know, and I don't know if we ever get to know. But I got to thinking, and you know, there are times where we read scriptures and God, man, he's just like, he speaks to us so we can speak to people. And Lisa does this all the time. She's sharing verses with me. She reads something and she's like, oh, check this out. But I was thinking about this. There's also times when God speaks to us and it's just for us. This might have been one of those moments that God allowed John to hear this, but it was just for John. It was just for the kingdom of heaven. It was just for John. And hey, that's okay. That is okay. So as you read your Bible, I'd encourage you to share with your family, with your friends, what you're reading. But there will be the occasional time where God says, this is just for you. This is just for you. I write songs from time to time, and 99.9% of the time, they're just for me and the Lord. And they're just a sweet time that I get to worship the Lord with some little jumble of words that, you know. But the thing is God has special things, and we do that. There's things that I just share with my wife. It's just for her. And God, well, he's the same way. He has things just for you, just for me. It's kind of cool. Also shows us that there's mysteries that we are not able to understand. There's mysteries in scriptures that God is not going to reveal to us in this life. Maybe not even in the life to come. Some have a hard time not knowing everything. I'm okay with it because I know I don't know everything. But it's good to realize that there are mysteries and there are things that we're just not going to fully grasp or God doesn't reveal fully to us. It's not important what the seven thunders uttered to us or to our salvation. It is important, don't get me wrong. Otherwise, God wouldn't have, you know. But anything that's important to our salvation, he makes clear. Anything that's important to our walk with Jesus, he makes that mystery known to us. But there are some things we need to take on faith. There are some things that we don't know. Some people struggle with that, and I guess that's just tough for those people because there's nothing we can do about it. There's nothing we can do to change it. Well, he goes on in verse 4 and says, or in verse 5 and says, that there should be delay no longer. But in the days of the sounding of the seventh angel, when he is about to sound, the mystery of God would be finished, as he declared to his servants, the prophets. At this point in Revelation, at this point with this judgment pending, he's wrapping up the world. He's wrapping up sin and suffering. All that we see now, all that we, you know, I love National Geographic and nature shows. And I mean, this world is beautiful and amazing. And I also need to realize it's not going to last forever. I got to realize that the systems in this earth of society and it's not going to last forever. No, God's going to wrap this up. He's going to do that for the purpose of ending sin and suffering. It's not God's desire that we just continue generation after generation to sin and suffer. No, it is God's desire that we be with him. And we will see that clearly throughout Revelation as he's bringing this all together. He's giving those final people a chance to repent. And then we'll see even further, he gives them a final chance in the thousand-year reign. And then his ultimate goal, though, is just to spend eternity with us. Is just to spend eternity where we're not sinning, where we're not suffering, we're just in his glory. I look forward to that time. I look forward to being with Jesus. I look forward to spending every second in his presence. But we can do as best we can now by reading our Bibles, by praying, by worshiping, and by submitting ourselves to him. Well, verse 8 gets into kind of an interesting little passage. Then the voice which I heard from heaven spoke to me again and said, "Go take the little book which is open in the hand of the angel who stands on the sea and on the earth." So I went, and the angel said to him, "Give me the little book." He's asked to do something here in a minute with this book that I find kind of odd. But first, God commands John to do something here. He says, "Go take the book. Go take the book." He commands John, and we see John obeying. And I was thinking about this. Life would be so much easier if we just listened to God and then obeyed God. Every aspect of our life would be simplified and easier. I'm not saying life would be perfect. I'm not saying life, because we can't control other people. But how much easier would life be if we took control of ourselves and listened to God and then obeyed God? We would find so much more peace in our hearts. Even with the stuff that we can't control, we can go, "Okay, God, I'm going to hand that to you, but I've done what I need to do to listen and to obey." Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. Get into the Word of God. I can't encourage you enough. I know that's one of the things that we're big about here at Calvary is the Word of God. Is teaching through it verse by verse, chapter by chapter, encouraging you to read through it verse by verse, chapter by chapter, getting the entire counsel of God's Word. There's no mystery. It's not like, "Well, the pastoral staff knows some things that you don't know." Not at all. And there's a lot of churches like that where they have their mystery that only you reach this level and then you can learn a little. No. You can get into the Word and you can read everything. We have a bookstore with commentaries, and I can't say enough about it, but Blue Letter Bible, it's a free resource online. You can study the Greek and the Hebrew, and you can learn. You guys could study these passages before I teach and do your own study and see what you come up with. It should be pretty similar to what I come up with, because we're trying to talk about the Word of God, about the truth. So I'd encourage you, get in, study. Know the Word so that you can obey the Word. That's the big deal. James tells us that if you look into the perfect law of liberty, well, you need to respond. You need to change. Well, God's command, what is he telling you to do today? Because I think God has something for us each day. I think God has something for us regularly. He's going to be talking to us. He's going to be guiding us. So are you listening? What is God telling you? And are you willing to obey it? Are you willing to submit and set yourself aside, your pride, your desires to be an authority and say, "God, it's all about you. I'm going to do what you want." Well, 1 Samuel 15:22, Samuel said, "Has the Lord as great delight in burnt offering and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed than the fat of rams." Samuel, he's talking to Saul here, the first king of Israel, and Saul had a, well, he didn't obey God. And that was his downfall as king. He didn't obey God. He knew what God had commanded, but he didn't obey. He didn't follow through. He didn't do all that God had asked him to do. And so Samuel's talking to him here, and he says, hey, sacrifice and all that stuff, that's good. God's commanded it. He says, but to obey is better than sacrifice. To obey is better than sacrifice. Are we obeying today? He goes on, and this is heavy. Verse 23 there in 1 Samuel, he says, for rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is the iniquity or the sin of idolatry. Wow. God really looks at our obedience to him in a big light. He takes it seriously. So I need to look at my heart and go, God, am I obeying? And is there any area that I'm not? Because I want to be. I don't want to. I mean, witchcraft, that wasn't on my list of to-dos today. You know, these aren't things that, you know, we should take lightly. No, obedience to God. John is commanded by God, and then he obeys God. And we can look, yeah, that's simple. Go take the book. Maybe that's all God's asking you to do today is go over there and tell them about Jesus, or go over there and open the door for the old lady, or go over there and, I mean, whatever God's asking you to do, it could be so simple, but it's obedience. And I'm not saying it's easy. Don't get me wrong. It's not easy to obey. It's not natural for us to obey. I mean, it just isn't. We want it our way. I think that's Burger King. But we do. We want it our way. Well, then he goes on and he tells Saul, because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he has also rejected you from being king. Pretty heavy consequence for Saul. Well, there are consequences for us not listening and obeying. But get this, there's blessings for when we do. God blesses us, and he's with us, and he's for us. God has plans for us, and when we follow through and we do the right thing, I love the fact that we can make God smile. I love the fact that we can actually make Almighty God pleased with what we do. I like that. I like that. Well, he goes on as John obeys. He goes to the angel. He says, give me the little book. And he said to me, the angel said to John, take and eat it. Yep. And it will make your stomach bitter, but it will also be sweet as honey in your mouth. Then I took the little book out of the angel's hand and ate it. And it was as sweet as honey in my mouth, but when I had eaten it, my stomach became bitter. And he said to me, you must prophesy again about many peoples, nations, tongues, and kings. I've never been asked to eat a book. But I mean, I guess if God showed up and said, Justin, I want you to eat this book, I'll chow down. You know, so I don't recommend gnawing on your books and science. But the thing is God commanded him to eat this book. And I'm thinking, I read passages like this, and I'm like, what do you do with that? You know, well, this is the deal. God wanted him to prophesy, to speak the word of God to many peoples, nations, tongues, and kings. So whatever was in this book, John needed to consume so that he could do the work of God. Was it the Bible? Maybe. I don't know. But he needed to consume it. And we need to realize that the message of God is bittersweet, just as this book was. It's bittersweet. How does that work? Well, let's go with sweet first, because I like that. It gives us, well, promises of eternal life. And the promise of a relationship with Almighty God. The Bible, the Word of God, gives us promises to prosper, not just physically or monetarily, but relationally with God. with each other. We can affect how we interact with each other. But there's another side to the Word of God that is bitter. There is judgment for those that reject the Word of God and His salvation. And we've seen that in Revelation. There's a real hell. There's a real heaven. So the Word of God can be bittersweet. But check this out. He needed to consume it. And I was thinking about food. I think about food a lot. And food, you know, it goes into our stomach, but then it breaks down, and it literally becomes a part of every part of who I am. It goes into every cell and nourishes every last little piece of my body. Well, that's what the Word of God needs to do in our lives. We need to consume the Word of God. And I think that we can become, you know, not just knowledgeable about it, but knowing the Word of God and living it out and having it consume us, every little part, nourishing every piece of our bodies spiritually, our lives practically, so that we can do the will of God. That's another thing. We get back to the Word of God. We get back to His Word, the Bible. Another reason why we should read it and know it is so that it can consume us, so that we can share it with the world. Do people around you see that you're consumed with the Word? That you're consumed with knowing Him? And it's not just knowledge. No, He makes that clear with sacrifice. It's obedience. But He says, eat the book. Take and eat it. So that you can share. And we need to be faithful to share with the world around us. We need to be faithful to rightly represent our God and our Savior. Faith comes by hearing. Hearing by the Word of God. You want more faith? You want to live for Him? Get into the Word. And it is encouraging. It is encouraging when you've had a rough day to sit and read your Bible. We did something with the junior hires. It's been a couple years, and they're still doing it. Fight for 15, and it was just reading 15 minutes a day. Fighting for 15 minutes a day. It wasn't about how much you read. It was just about reading. And I watched it transform a lot of the kids that did it because they were in the Word of God. And a lot of those that did that have actually read their entire Bibles by now. And it's so cool. I know people that are, you know, in their 40s and 50s that have been walking with the Lord a long time that haven't read their whole Bible. So maybe that's something that works for you, is setting a timer and saying, I'm going to read for 15 minutes, 20 minutes, 5 minutes. Well, get into the Word. I like the time thing myself, because then if I want to fixate on a passage, I can fixate on it. And I can chew on that 4 verses for 15 minutes or 20. You know, sometimes it doesn't stay 15. But I feel when I have to get through a lot, I read to get through what I have to read. We should read so that God can speak to us. We should read so that God can change our lives. And so many times in my life, I've found that whatever I just read becomes applicable to my life, either to share with somebody or to something I'm going through. I mean, I can't tell you how many times I'm like, Lord, what do I do? And then I read what's next in my devotions, and I'm like, wow, it's right there. The answer. And how He does that, I don't know. But He's faithful to reach us through His Word. Well, you must prophesy again about many peoples, nations, tongues, and kings. That was John's calling. What's yours? What's your calling tonight? What's God calling you to do? God's wanting to give you authority in the kingdom of heaven. Do you know what that is? If you do, obey. If you don't, pray. And God will make it clear. He'll start opening things up for you to see. But remember, it's His authority. It's His Word. It's His power. It's His glory. It's all about Jesus. And that's really Revelation. It's all about Jesus. It's really the entire Bible. It's all about Jesus. I'm kind of excited about the future, about what God wants to do, about what God's going to do. Because he's got plans. Let's pray, you guys. Lord, we thank you. We praise you. We know that you know all things. That any authority that we have is from you. We know that you've called us, like John here, to do something. We want to obey. We want to follow. We want to do your will. God, consume us. Consume us with your word, with your spirit. That every last part of our being would be saturated with you, fed by you. Now, with everybody's eyes closed and nobody looking around, if you're here tonight and you've never given your life to Jesus, but you realize you need to, you got to know that Jesus loves you and he died on the cross for you. And he rose from the grave so that you could have everlasting life. And if you want a life with him and you want to serve him and follow him, and you've never asked him to forgive your sins, to come into your heart, but you want to tonight, I'm just going to ask that you raise your hand. Is there anybody here tonight? Raise your hand, hold it high, and I'll lead you in a prayer where you say, Jesus, forgive me for my sins. Come into my life. Be my Savior. Is there anybody here tonight? Lord, we thank you. We thank you for the opportunity to live with you, to live for you. We thank you for the gift of the cross. We thank you for your authority over us. We choose to submit and follow you. Help us to love you more, to love people more, to represent you in a greater way this year. Jesus, thank you so much. We love you and we praise you in your name. Amen.